Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, January 8, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 11 and 12. O Corinthians, our mouth is open face to face with you. That means freely and openly communicating the God-breathed Scriptures. Our heart is opened wide, enlarged as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Therefore, you, Corinthians, absolutely are not being hindered by us, Paul and his team, but you are being hindered by your own emotions. Now, God created each one of us, and when he created us, he provided for us emotions. It's a part of your soul, emotions. Nothing wrong with emotions in and of themselves. God created us to have emotions, but those emotions have a way to operate and function. God created our emotions to be responders, to respond to him, to respond to the word of God, to respond to grace, to respond to truth. He did not create our emotions to react toward God, to react toward the word of God. Now, I love the emotions that God gave me. And I've been in athletics all my life. I'm not in athletics anymore, but I was in athletics all my life. And I enjoy watching great football, and I love enjoying watching great basketball. And when I see great football and basketball, my emotions respond. and it's fantastic, and I have a great time watching it. Now, when I see bad basketball and bad football, my emotions tell me, turn off the damn TV. Not going to watch this. You know, my sons went to UNLV. I support UNLV. I love the football coach that we had. I love the basketball coach. I love Lon Kruger. I love Kevin Kruger. But there's been a real breakdown here. And right now they are playing bad basketball. If you want to be a winner in basketball, it starts with defense. Defense. Everybody thought Tarkanian and won the national championship. They called him the running rebels. Everybody thought it was offense. No, it was defense. They totally shut down the other team, caused turnovers, got rebounds, blocked out. You got to work hard to get rebounds. You got to block out, get the rebound, and then you get the offense going down the floor and beat the other team down and you score. And also you have to be in great physical condition. And the best conditioned team in the United States was the UNLV Running Rebels. And that was fun to watch. I had a lot of emotion. We would go to the game. You know where we sat? The very last row in the very highest seat, the only seat available. Now you can sit on the floor if you want. There's nobody there. But this game against Boise State, Degenhardt, from Spokane, playing for Boise, he got 4 offensive rebounds, one after another, after another, after another, and finally made a layup. Why wasn't UNLV blocking out and getting the rebound and not letting them to have? I mean, you know, when you have 4 chances to make a layup, you'll probably make it. That's bad basketball. You gotta work hard on defense. You gotta block out and get those rebounds. And when you get on the offense, you have to get offensive rebounds. But you gotta work hard to do that. And I just don't see that. I just don't see that. And so, you know, I just turn the TV off. And don't watch it. Now, we are studying about a very important part of the human body and soul, emotions. But we're studying it from the standpoint of the Word of God and the plan of God for your life. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 and 12 presents bad emotions. Bad emotions that were hindering the believers in Corinth from living the spiritual life, hindering them from growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They were just baby believers. They had been believers a long time, but they had reacted to the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Titus. They reacted. They didn't respond. They didn't like what they heard. And they were living in Satan's cosmic system. They were in reversionism. They were in reversionism. And what's being emphasized here is emotional revolt of the soul, one of the eight stages of reversionism. So this is a very, very important passage. The Word of God tells us that our emotions are under divine scrutiny. Psalm 7:9 says, "For the righteous God tests the hearts and the emotions." If emotion responds to the grace and truth of the Word of God in the heart, you have a normal soul. If emotions react, you have an abnormal situation. God tests our hearts and our emotions to see if the soul is normal or not. The condition of your soul is known to God at all times, in time and in eternity past, when there was no time. Testing is used as an anthropomorphism. God in His omniscience knew all about your heart and emotions before you were ever here. In eternity past, He knew all about your heart and your emotions. So this phrase, testing your heart and emotions, is an anthropomorphism to determine your spiritual status. In other words, are you living the spiritual life? Are you growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Are you attaining spiritual maturity? Do you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart? Or are you in reversionism? Are you in emotional revolt of the soul? You see, God has a plan for your life. And that plan for your life is a magnificent spiritual life for you to live. A spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And therefore, to challenge you to live the spiritual life, God says He tests your emotions and your heart. You need a little whiskey? All right, somebody get this gal a shot of whiskey. So. With maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, your norms and standards become compatible with God's norms and standards. Emotion can be a hindrance to the plan of God and a distraction to the perception of Bible doctrine. And that's our passage, 2 Corinthians 6:11-12. The believers in Corinth are being hindered by their own emotions. When people allow their emotions to rule their lives, they often become troublemakers who cause divisions among believers. And you are commanded to separate from them, Romans 16:17-18. Emotional revolt of the soul causes emotion to become an aggressor, a reactor, instead of a responder. And this causes emotion to become the criterion for your life rather than the Word of God in your heart. And therefore, emotional revolt of the soul causes total failure and malfunction of living the spiritual life. Failure of spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Failure of spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. And this makes the spiritual life and God's plan impossible to fulfill. Instead of responding to the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart, emotion revolts and takes over the soul. With emotion in command of your soul, all capacity for love and happiness in God is gone. Instead of responding to the Word of God in your heart, the emotion responds to the lust patterns of the sin nature and The cosmic system, Satan and the cosmic system has a mantra, and it's being followed by most believers in America today. That mantra of the cosmic system is, if it feels good, do it. And so we have all these believers in drug addiction, drug addicts, alcoholics, fornication, because it feels good. So if it feels good, do it. That's the mantra of Satan's cosmic system. In emotional revolt of the soul, there is negative volition to the Word of God and a frantic search for happiness. Believers who live by their emotions are believers whose emotional revolt has produced chaos of the soul. Believers with such chaos in their souls are troublemakers, and therefore other believers are commanded to separate from them. And by the way, that's coming up in our next paragraph, the doctrine of separation. There is good emotion and there is bad emotion. Last time we concluded with good emotion. Good emotion is response to the filling of the Holy Spirit and the absolute truth of the Word of God that you've learned and believed and is in your heart. That's great emotion. Good emotion responds to the truth of God's Word in your heart, which establishes values and norms and standards in the conscience of the soul. When you're out of fellowship with God, you abandon the values and the norms and standards you developed when you were in fellowship with God. Good emotion responds to living the unique spiritual life of the church age. It responds to divine viewpoint in your heart, including self-evaluation and the application of Bible doctrine. The ultimate in good emotion is occupation with Jesus Christ, because the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. That is the ultimate of good emotion. Sharing the happiness of God as a result of occupation with Jesus Christ. So occupation with Christ is the maximum outlet for good emotion. Good emotion also comes from response to the laws of divine establishment, such as patriotism. And when we are at that point in our nation where the sports channels, ESPN is a liberal, horrible sports channel. Now they don't even put on the national anthem when there was a great national anthem and patriotism, and they refuse to put it on. That's how far we have fallen in this nation. Patriotism. Virtue in government, virtue in marriage, family values, honor, integrity, nobility of character. All of that is a part of the laws of divine establishment. And good emotion responds to that. In the Bible, we have the word joy and rejoice. That's the word for happiness, sharing the happiness of God. Colossians 1, 9 to 12, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. Joy is the function of sharing the happiness of God as a result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, so that the emotions have something to appreciate that is absolutely great and phenomenal. Philippians 4, 4 to 7, Philippians 1, 21 to 26. So sharing the happiness of God, occupation with Jesus Christ, is the peak of great emotional response in your life. That's the best of the best, and that's how God's plan is. Now, there is also bad emotion, and we stopped after good emotion last time, so we start this evening with bad emotion. Bad emotion. One, Bad emotion is reaction emotion. God designed our emotions to be responders, not reactors. Bad emotion is reaction emotion. Reacting to, well, Pastor Olson teaching the Word of God. And it steps, the Word of God steps on your toes. Now, I don't go around and follow you all around and see what you're doing and what you're not doing and then say, well, I'm going to work a special message tonight and just nail. No. But some of you think that that's all do not have enough time to follow all of you around and see how you're doing. Besides, it'd probably be boring. But it'd be better than watching the basketball game I saw the other day. So you react. You get your toes stepped on. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. And when it pierces, steps on your toes, and you react. Oh, well, I'm not going to go to Upland Bible Church no more. Now you're here listening to that guy. Toodaloo. So bad emotion is reaction emotion, too. Bad emotion is emotion out of control in a state of reaction toward God and the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God. That's what was happening here. They were accusing Paul and his team, Paul and Timothy and Titus and Apollos. Paul says, you absolutely are not being hindered by us, but you are being hindered by your own emotions. Your own emotions. Three, bad emotion is emotion divorced from the absolute truth of God's Word. Emotion divorced from the absolute truth of the Word of God. Bad emotion is emotional revolt of the soul. Bad emotion is the emotional complex of sins. Emotional complex of sins. Four, bad emotion is divorced from reality. So that the believer sees the problem but never sees the solution. Bad emotion is divorced from reality so that the believer sees the problem but never sees the solution. Five, bad emotion includes pseudo-compassion, pseudo-love, crusader arrogance, Christian activism. So bad emotion includes pseudo-compassion, pseudo-love, crusader arrogance, Christian activism. Six. Bad emotion alleges that the gift of tongues is still in existence and operating today. It isn't. No one has legitimately spoken in the gift of tongues since 70 AD. Now, we're in 2025. You do the math. No one has spoken in tongues legitimately since 70 AD. So what is that? Emotions. Bad emotion. Emotional revolt of the soul. So the Pentecostal crowd, they are totally divorced from the absolute truth of the Word of God. No one has legitimately spoken in tongues since 70 AD. Seven, bad emotion is the emotional complex of sins. Bad emotion is the emotional complex of sins. 8, the emotional complex of sins, the emotional complex of sins is bad emotion, and it comes in a number of categories. Category number 1, the hysteria category. The hysteria category includes fear. How many times do we have in the Bible, do not be afraid? Fear not. Do not be afraid. So the hysteria category includes fear and worry and anxiety and panic and consternation. All of that's included in category number 1, hysteria category. Category number 2, the revenge category. Revenge category, and this includes malice, the lust to inflict injury or suffering on others. The lust to inflict injury or suffering on others. Violence, murder, gossip. You know, there's so much murdering that's going on, and it is the revenge category of the emotional complex of sins. And we see it more and more and more in our own nation. Murder and gossip and slander and maligning and judging and lying about someone. All of that's revenge category of the emotional complex of sins. Malice, the lust to inflict injury or suffering on others, violence, murder, gossip, slander, maligning, judging, lying about someone. The third category is the hatred category. The hatred category of the emotional complex of sins, and this includes anger, hatred, bitterness, jealousy, animosity. Anger, hatred, bitterness, jealousy, animosity. The hatred category in the emotional complex of sins. The fourth category is the irrational category. The irrational category. And this includes tantrums. And you know, by the way, parents, you have a great, great privilege and responsibility of raising your children and training them. And never, ever, ever should you allow tantrums to take place with your children. Now, it's never, you don't enjoy spanking. You don't enjoy doing it because they're just little tykes. You look at them and their tears are coming down their eyes, and you go, okay, get over my knee. Is this going to hurt me more than it does you? Boom. 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 Why do you do that? Well, it's not fun. I raised my sons and I had to discipline them and I disciplined them. It was never fun. This is what you do. If you do this, you're going to get disciplined for it. And I remember I was standing on a ladder and painting our house over on Buffalo. And I was up high on this ladder, and Derek and Dave were running around, underneath the ladder, out underneath the ladder. I said, now listen, You cannot run around under this ladder. You hit this ladder, I got a gallon of paint up here. Lands on your head, it'll break your neck. So do not run around this ladder. Well, you know, they're brain damaged. 5 minutes later, I come down the ladder. Derek, David, front and center. What did I just tell you to do? You said, don't run around under the ladder because there's a gallon of paint and it'll fall on our head and break our neck. So what did you do? We ran around underneath the ladder trying to get that gallon of paint to fall on our head. I said, okay, what did I say I was going to do? You're going to discipline us. Okay. Get over my knee. And it's not something that, boy, I love now I get to. No. No. No father wants to discipline, but because you love them, you do. And God is the same way. Those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. He disciplined. Then he used another word, mastigao, skin alive with a whip. Those whom the Lord loves, and God loves us with infinite virtue love, he disciplines. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. So, you parents, raising your children, tantrums are... That's an area where that has to be. And you train them. This is your great responsibility. Train them. No tantrums. No tantrums. You'll be disciplined. Vulnerability to imagined insults or snubs. Self-pity. Whining. Denial. All of these are the irrational category. Fifth. Category, the guilt category. The guilt category, and this includes remorse for real or imagined sins that you've committed. And I've had believers call me and crying on the phone because they did these horrible sins and they're crying, and they have this horrible guilt complex. And I said, well, first of all, I said, I don't want to invade your privacy. This is between you and the Lord, not between you and me. But you seem to think you've really done something. When then they told me what they did, I said, that's not a sin.
What?
I said, that's not a sin. That's not a sin? No. And here they had this great guilt complex. Somebody else, some other believers up, this was in another geographical area. Some believers in that area told them what horrible sins they were committing, and they weren't even committing any sins. So remorse, guilt category is remorse for real or imagined sins. Morbid self-reproach. Emotional feelings of culpability, self-righteous arrogance, arrogant preoccupation with one's feelings. All of that's the fifth guilt category. Now, many of the emotional complex of sins combine the sins of the emotional complex with the sins of the arrogance complex. And this includes the repression category, and that's defined as the denial of reality of the problem because it's too painful or too unpleasant for you to face. So what do? With it? You shove it into your subconscious mind, and that creates all kind of problems later on in life. So... The emotional complex of sins combine the sins of the emotional complex with the sins of the arrogance complex, and you have the repression category. Denial of the reality of the problem because it's too painful or too unpleasant to face. And so repression, you shove it into the subconscious mind, and repression refuses to face the issue. And then there's the hybrid. Hybrid guilt category is one of the most dangerous categories. In this category, feelings of guilt, which cause perpetual anxiety, may be alleviated by the defense mechanism of blaming others for your own sins. And whenever you do this, you avoid the reality of volitional responsibility. You are responsible for your own sin. Nobody else. You are responsible for your own sin. So 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12. O Corinthians, our mouth is open face to face with you, communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. Freely and openly communicating the Word of God. Our heart is open wide. We have maximum metabolized doctrine in our heart. Therefore, you absolutely are not being hindered by us, but you are being hindered by your own emotions. The mouth of Paul and his team is open wide. Paul and his team has been teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures consistently and faithfully to the believers in Corinth. The heart of Paul and his team is open wide, enlarged with maximum metabolized doctrine. Our heart are full of grace and truth of the Word of God. That's what Paul is saying. Now, in verse 13, Paul declares, now you Corinthians, you believers in Corinth, you need to have your hearts enlarged. You need to, how is that going to happen? By getting the Word of God in your heart. Learning and believing the God-breathed scriptures. You need to have your hearts enlarged with the Word of God. That's verse 13. Verse 13 starts out in the King James Version, which is really a sad translation. But anyway, in fair exchange, it starts out in the King James. This is the postpositive conjunction de plus the accusative singular of antimisthia with the definite article. Plus the accusative singular of the intensive pronoun autos. The postpositive conjunction de looks like this in the Greek, de, and de is used here as a transitional de and may be correctly translated and, or moreover, or then, or now, and we will translate it now. Now, and then we have the intensive pronoun autos. The intensive pronoun autos. A-U-T-O-S. Autos. And autos means in the same way. So now in the same way. And then we have antimisthia. Antimisthia, not Uncle Misthia, but Antimisthia. Okay, you're still awake. That's good. A-N-T-I-M-I, oops. You caught that oops in you. S-T-H-I-A. Antimisthia. Now, antimisthia is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures. Both times it's used by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:27 and then in our verse, 2 Corinthians 6:13. It is not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It is not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. It's very likely that the Apostle Paul, under the ministry of inspiration, ministry of God the Holy Spirit, coined this word to communicate the truth behind it. So, one, antimisthia means to exchange. It means to exchange. Two, it emphasizes the reciprocal nature of the transaction. The reciprocal nature of the transaction. In other words, point three, the Apostle Paul says, we have opened wide our hearts to you. That is, we have maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts. Point four, now, in the same way, in exchange, you need to widen your hearts and get maximum metabolized doctrine in your hearts. That's exactly what he's saying with this very special word, antimisthia. And then we have a parenthesis. Now, after that first part there, in verse 13, now, in the same way, in exchange, parenthesis. And the parenthesis will go, I speak as unto children, baby believers, who have not grown up spiritually, close parenthesis. And then he finishes the sentence, you need to widen your hearts also. So let's just do it without the parenthesis, first of all. Now in the same way, in exchange, widen your hearts also. That's the sentence. But there's a parenthesis in between. And the Apostle Paul says, I speak as unto children, baby believers, adolescent believers who have not grown up spiritually, have not grown up in the grace and truth of the Word of God. So our parenthesis, I speak as unto my children. By the way, the word my is not in the Greek. So there is no word my in the Greek. I speak as unto children. This is the comparative particle host plus the present active indicative of lego plus the dative plural of technon. Lego. Looks like this in the Greek, L-E-G, long O, lego. Lego is used to insert a parenthesis. This is one of the functions of the verb lego, to insert a parenthesis. The comparative particle hos looks like this, H, long O-S, hos. The comparative particle host introduces a characteristic quality of a person. Here, it introduces an actual quality and is correctly translated as, and then we have technon. T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. And technon refers to a spiritual child. A spiritual child. These are baby believers. These are adolescent believers who have never grown up spiritually. They've never grown up spiritually. They have very little metabolized doctrine in their heart. That's what Paul was saying. In verse 12, you absolutely are not being hindered by us. You're being hindered by your own emotions. Our heart is enlarged, open wide, with maximum metabolized doctrine. but not your heart. They have very little metabolized doctrine in their hearts. They are just spiritual children. So he says, I speak as unto children who have not grown up spiritually. And then he concludes, open wide your hearts to us. This is the aorist passive imperative of Plotino plus the conjunction chi with the nominative plural of the personal pronoun su. Plotino, we've already had this in verse 11. Plotino, P-L-A-T-U-N, long O, Plotino. This is the same verb Paul used in verse 11. Our heart is plotinoed, opened wide to you, Corinthians. It's the same verb. We have maximum metabolized doctrine in our hearts. Now, widen your hearts in the same way. In exchange. And then we have the conjunction chi. Conjunction chi is an adjunctive chi. K-A-I. Adjunctive chi. You translate that also. So verse 13. Now, in the same way, in exchange, parenthesis, I speak as unto children who have not grown up spiritually, close parenthesis, widen your hearts also. Now in the same way, in exchange, parenthesis, I speak as unto children who have not grown up spiritually, close parenthesis, widen your hearts also. All right, one. The Apostle Paul is giving a mandate to the believers in Corinth. He's giving a mandate, a command to the believers in Corinth. Two, many of these believers have been saved for a long time. Many of these believers have been saved for a long time, but they are still baby believers. But they are still baby believers. Three, they have never grown up spiritually. They have never grown up spiritually. What's hindered them? Their emotions reacting to Paul. They have never grown up spiritually because they have very little Bible doctrine in their heart. They have never grown up spiritually because they have very little Bible doctrine in their heart. Four, the imperative mood of Plotino is a command. A mandate, but it's a mandate for all of us, all of you here, all members of the royal family of God. So the imperative mood is of Plotino is a mandate, a command for all members of the royal family of God, for each one of us, every one of you, and for me. Five. To fulfill this mandate, the believers in Corinth must, first of all, have a change of mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. Humility is respect for the authority of God, respect for the authority of the Word of God, respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. So to fulfill this mandate, the believers in Corinth must, First of all, have a change of mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition, and secondly, from arrogance to humility. Six, the only way your hearts can be opened wide is to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The only way your heart can be opened wide is to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Now, the Apostle Paul is a spiritually mature believer, maybe the greatest believer of all time. The Apostle Paul is a winner believer. The Apostle Paul has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That means he has personal love for God the Father. He has impersonal love for all mankind, all the believers in Corinth. Paul loves every single believer in Corinth with virtue love. The good, the bad, and the... He loves them all with perfect, impersonal love for all. Every one of them. He doesn't want to see them crash and burn. They're in reversionism. And many of them have already died the sin unto death. And it breaks his heart. He's led many of these people to salvation by giving the grace gospel. He's taught many of them the word of God. And some of them have responded and others have reacted and peeled off. And it breaks his heart. He doesn't want to see them crash and burn. He loves them with perfect virtue love. And he has occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ and shares the happiness of God. So he loves every single believer in Corinth, every one of them. He loves them with virtue love. He wants to see them. He knows they're in reversionism. He wants to see them. Well, we're going to see this when we get to chapter 7. He wants them to get to metanoeo. Two words, meta, to change, and noeo from the verb to think. He wants them to change their thinking. And what, how, you know how that word, what, how it's translated? And it's totally a great translation. Repentance. Biblical repentance. We get to chapter 7. He wants them to repent. To change their thinking. Change their thinking. Rebound. Rebound. Get back into, realize that they're living in Satan's cosmic system. They're in reversionism. They're in emotional revolt of the soul. They're being hindered by their own emotions. They need to rebound. He wants them to biblical repentance. He wants them to rebound and change their thinking about the Word of God and grow up. Reversion recovery. That's what he wants. Biblical repentance. Rebound and reversion recovery. And he wants that for all of them because he loves them. He loves them all. Many of them don't love Paul. They hate Paul. They react to Paul. But Paul loves every single one of them with virtue love. And so he communicates grace and truth. Grace and truth. What he's communicating right here. You're being hindered by your own emotions. You need to open up your heart and get maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. That's biblical repentance. So the only way, point six, the only way your heart can be opened wide is to get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Seven, Paul and his team, Timothy and Titus and Apollos, Paul and his team are faithful communicators of the God-breathed scriptures. They're all winner believers. They love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, they study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes." "Then feed my sheep." And that's what they're doing. Paul, Timothy, Titus, Apollos, they're feeding the sheep. And they're feeding the sheep in Corinth. They are faithful communicators of the God-breathed scriptures. Eight. So, get under their authority and consistently and faithfully learn and metabolize the grace and truth of the Word of God. So get under their authority and consistently and faithfully learn and metabolize the grace and the truth of the Word of God. So, now let's look at verses 11 through 13. O Corinthians, our mouth is open face to face with you, freely and openly teaching you the Word of God. Our heart is open wide, enlarged with maximum amount of the Word of God in our heart. You absolutely are not being hindered by us, but you are being hindered by your own emotions. Therefore, now, verse 13, in the same way, in exchange, and let's just leave the parenthesis out for a moment. Therefore, now, in the same way, in exchange, widen your hearts also. Parenthesis, I speak as unto children who have not grown up spiritually. Pretty great. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I... fantastic. Now, the next paragraph. We're just beginning to fight. Now in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18, the Apostle Paul is going to teach the doctrine of separation. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. The doctrine of separation. And that's where we're going to start next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.